Good morning to everyone. I'm saying good morning because it is morning here as we make this tape. But you may be listening in the afternoon or in the evening. But anyway, greetings to all. And I thought today we would take up a subject which continues the series on how God saves sinners, but a little different subject. Would you please turn to Acts chapter 8 in your Bible, and we will pursue a biblical case for evangelism. That's Acts chapter 8. And now let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for such grace and mercy that you do save sinners, that you do reach your elect, that you are the evangelist. We pray now that you will help us as we study this passage, that we may see this clear case of biblical evangelism and learn about you and how you work to save your elect. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Acts chapter 8, we learn about biblical evangelism. And I think our best approach to study this passage is to ask questions. First of all, what do we learn about evangelism from this passage of Scripture? Let's begin by reading Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 4. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. So it was a time of persecution in the early church, and we have Saul, who became Paul, persecuting the church. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. What do we learn about evangelism? We learn, first of all, that God is the director of evangelism. To emphasize this, please turn now to verse 26. And we read, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, or Gaza. This is a desolate place. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship." God is going to direct his man, Philip, to one of his elect, an Ethiopian, who has come to Jerusalem to worship. So God is going to bring this about. God has to get a human evangelist to meet with this man who is in his chariot, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. Philip is in Samaria having a great ministry. God must get Philip, cause him to be willing to leave and to go to Gaza, a desolate place, for this one man. So God directs by initiating. All this came about because of God's initiating and God's directing and God making all the arrangements. And this is evangelism. This is what God does in order to save one or two or three or how many of his elect, people whom he has chosen to save before he ever created. And this Ethiopian man is one of them, and God is going to get the message of the gospel to this man. We learn that God is the director, the initiator, the arranger, and he does it. Secondly, we learn that God prepares and equips the evangelist. This happened to be Philip. Now, here is Philip, and remember what we read about him. The multitudes with one accord heard his message and responded. And people are being saved and healed. In other words, there is a great, great ministry here. We would call this a successful ministry. And in verse 26, the angel messenger comes to Philip and says, "Go to the desert and leave this great ministry. Leave your successful ministry and go to the desert. Leave the crowd. Leave the multitudes. Go to a hard place, to one person." One person is a mission field. Now God must so work in the heart of this human being with this supposedly successful ministry, whatever that means, and leave and go to one person. God must prepare the heart of Philip and equip him to go and do this. Now we read about Philip's response in verse 27 of Acts chapter 8. Here's the angel message. "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza to a desert." Verse 27. "So he arose and went." Now I love that. That is marvelous. This is wonderful, because Philip could have all kinds of arguments and excuses and alibis for not leaving the comforts of the city and traveling to the desert. "Lord, am I supposed to leave this great ministry and leave this multitude of people and go down there to this desolate place where there are really no people? Is this really the message?" He might have said to the angel, "Are you sure you don't have this confused? Isn't there something wrong you're leaving out or you're not telling me?" No, it says he arose and went. He was unconditionally obedient. And only God can cause a stubborn human will to become willing to do something like this. He was not only unconditionally obedient, he was immediately obedient. So he went. Thirdly, he was eagerly obedient. We read in verse 30, "Philip ran to the man, eagerly, trusting that God was right. God has made no mistakes. What do we learn about evangelism? That God is the director, making the arrangements. We learn that God prepares and equips the human evangelist, Philip. Now, thirdly, we learn that God prepares his elect to hear and to respond to the gospel. Now, let's read about this man. Verse 27. So he, Philip, arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, and was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. What does this mean? This means that the grace of God was beginning to touch the heart of this man, causing him to be interested in worship, causing him to be interested in the scripture, giving him an inquisitive heart and mind, and bringing him to study in Isaiah. God was preparing this man. That's what he does for every one of us who have come to believe in Christ. He has a period of grace preparation whereby God is making the arrangements with the evangelist, and God is working and preparing the heart of those who are to receive the message. Now, for some, this may take quite a long period of time. For others, it may be rather immediate. It seems like for this man, it could have been a period of time. That in Ethiopia, he had heard something of Christ, what was going on in Jerusalem. He became inquisitive and curious by the work of the Holy Spirit in him. And he traveled to Jerusalem, and now he's returning. And lo and behold, here comes Philip. And verse 30, Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And Philip said to him, "Do you understand what you are reading?" Now, what a marvelous question. What a way to introduce spiritual conversation. And what a way to introduce the proclamation of the gospel, or to give out the good news. And here was a man whose heart God was preparing. He was seeking the truth. He was ready to be taught. He was already reading the Bible. And so Philip asked the man, "Do you understand what you are reading?" What does he say? Verse 31. "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him in the chariot. Now, this is God's arrangement, preparing this heart to be willing to be taught so that he could understand. And this is the role that we have as believers. We explain the scripture so that the unbeliever can come to understanding as the Holy Spirit works in his heart. So the gospel is the place and the truth of understanding, which leads us to the fourth point in this message. How does God save his elect? First of all, God is the director. Secondly, God prepares and equips the evangelist. Thirdly, God prepares his elect. Now, fourthly, God provides the message. The message of the gospel. How that Christ died for our sin and rose again unto eternal life. And so Philip turned to Isaiah and read him some scripture. And so the question comes out of this for the men, who is the bearer of sin? And Philip was able to lead him from Isaiah to Christ. Here is the word for the evangelism. For the evangelist, use the scripture. In the scripture is the power of God. In the scripture is the truth of the gospel. Witnessing is explaining the word of God. Philip knew the message. He knew about Isaiah 53. And he was able to say, it is Christ who died. Now the fifth point. As all this is taking place, the Holy Spirit working in the heart of this man, God brings faith and commitment to the listener, to the elect, whom he has predestinated to save at a point in time and history. And this is the time for this Ethiopian man to be saved. And so the eunuch answered and said to Philip, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? And Philip taught him the scripture and preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And the man answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. God brings faith to that elect person whom he predestines to save. Now, in the regenerating process, the Holy Spirit gives eternal life, gives spiritual life from those who are dead in sin, and in the regenerating gives faith so that the person can believe. And that is what God was doing in the life of this man, giving him faith so that he could believe. And now he is able to make this confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he has evidently heard some things previously and understands something of baptism and sees some water and wants to be baptized to be identified as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, what would hinder me to be baptized? And so Philip commanded the chariot to stand still. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Now, we don't have time to get into the lesson on baptism, but if you want to study baptism, this answers four questions about it. Who should be baptized? A believer. When should a person be baptized? After believing. Why should a person be baptized to be identified as a follower of Christ? How should a person be baptized? By going into the water, that is, being immersed as a picture of death and resurrection in identification with the Lord. Now, here is a clear case of biblical evangelism. I want to summarize by saying this. Philip is not the hero. The Ethiopian man is not the hero. The hero is the Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, directing and managing and arranging the salvation of his elect. And so this is what is happening here. And he went down into the water, he was baptized, and the man went on his way rejoicing. What a marvelous day it was in the life of this man. He was seeking, he was curious, and yet it happened that day. He did not know that this would be the day of his salvation, the day when he would be saved, the day when he would be forgiven, the day when he would know Christ, the day when he would have eternal life. And of course, he went on his way rejoicing. The joy of the Lord in his heart. And we see God's absolute sovereignty doing this. He went on his way rejoicing. Nehemiah said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." There's something about the joy of the Lord and the rejoicing in the Lord that is different. There's really nothing like it. There's nothing in this life that can bring joy and rejoicing like the joy of the Lord. It's different. It's above and beyond anything human. There is no pleasure on this earth. There is no accomplishment. There is no, quote, success that can even begin to be compared with the joy of the Lord. And that's what occurs for those whom God gives faith and causes to believe, because that person is so full of joy over the grace of God and the sovereignty of God initiating, directing, and arranging his salvation. This is the experience of that Ethiopian man. This is how God saves his elect. This is how God saved you. This is how God saved me. Not in these exact circumstances, but everything was the same. God had chosen us. God prepares somehow that we would hear the gospel. God works in our heart to make us willing to hear the gospel. God regenerates us from spiritual death to spiritual life, creates faith, causes us to believe. We respond and say, "I believe." And we want to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we go on our way rejoicing. Today, as you hear this message, rejoice in the Lord and let the joy of the Lord be your strength to live in this world until we're in heaven. Dear Heavenly Father, cause the truth of Acts chapter 8 to hit home to our hearts today, and cause us to respond and to say, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, my Lord and my Savior. Bring joy and rejoicing to our hearts that arises above all our difficulties, all of our trials, all of our troubles, all of our tragedies, all of our anxiety. And may the joy of the Lord be our strength today. Bring it about, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.